Be following fairly closely along this somewhat lengthy and wonderful passage of Scripture. Luke 24. In verse 5 at our text, when I read it, hesitated to try to draw some attention. Really try, as we read through, to think about being right there and how it was on that day. In verse 5, two men in shining garments asked the women who came to the tomb. I love the question. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Amen. Praise God. I was thinking about that. Do we look for Jesus in 2021? He is alive today, just like he was on that resurrection day so many years ago. Do we expect him to be active in the world, in our church, in our very personal lives? Today, let's be reminded to look for signs. Look for divine appointments. Look for the Holy Spirit to speak to us, not just with a heavenly baseball bat, but probably most often in that still small voice. This is the way, walk ye therein. This is a time to hold your peace, to be quiet. This is a time to speak. This is a time to act. This is a time not to act. This is a time to pray, whatever the situation might be. He is well able to direct us into his perfect will, and not just to comfort us, but the Spirit of God as well enables us. What a blessing. The Spirit of God convicts or reproves us of not just sin, but of righteousness and of judgment. Our time is short. We have a little time. The Lord knows how little it may be. We could hear the trump today, or one of us could pass from this life by means of God's appointment in our physical deaths. Let's look for signs of resurrection power. They're all around us, certainly in this springtime here. I love the crocuses as they push their heads up. Number one on your handout there, Jesus Christ is always, always, that's the word, Jesus Christ is always at work. Let's pray. Father, Lord, how can we adequately praise you, for your Son, for your Spirit, for your Word made flesh, for your written Word? But Father, today, as best as we can, we praise you for your sovereignty, for your plan, for your attention to detail, for you, the great I am. As Jesus said in John 10:30, he and you are one, and your Spirit bears witness to Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we praise you for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, for that lifeblood, for the payment in full of the sin debt of the world, for the salvation that is ours, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we praise you, we thank you, and we love you because you first loved us. Help us, Father, to grow. Open our eyes to believe all of your words and to grow in this for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's jump right back into Luke 24 at verse 10 where we left off. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Notice the next verse. Do you see yourself in this sometimes? And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school, and ran unto the sepulchre. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And I think we can try to put ourselves in those shoes a little bit. and I think about that sometimes as perhaps the folks gathered here today, you and I are so familiar with this. But you know, as I remember the first time in a bus ministry, and we were teaching junior church before the Lord called me to preach, and the first time I talked with one of those children, and they did not know who Jesus was, and they weren't fooling me. And they knew nothing about the scripture because they had never been taught or heard anything about it. And they came from that kind of a home, or I don't know if they even really had a home. And so in our day, sometimes we are so familiar, some of us, with these things. But think about folks who hear about the resurrection for the first time. And sometimes we just need a little time to think through some things. And sometimes we can be a little bit, I say this to myself as God speaks to my heart and convicts me about this, sometimes we can be a little impatient with other folks, maybe a little bit too much in a hurry trying to prod the Spirit of God along, which we cannot do because He's perfect and our timing is not perfect. Sometimes folks need a little time to comprehend this amazing fact. Like the disciples, even here, they may pass through some phases as the Lord works with them. As we went through the Gospel of John, we talked a little bit more in detail about some of those things which each of the ones that saw the risen Christ. You know, at first they may think it is, as Scripture records for us, an idle tale. Sometimes we call them fairy tales, make-believe, not real, Mickey Mouse. Nothing wrong with make-believe as long as you distinguish what is make-believe and what is true. This is true. This actually happened. The devil wants folks to just think, well, that's a nice story. It's not just a story. It is a true story. It is the truth. And it's reflected in the truth, the way, the life embodied, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, like Peter, folks may want to check out the facts. I read about that a little bit with some agnostics and atheists in Sunday school today. They would check out the facts, but sometimes still even be puzzled about what happened. Peter seems to have gone from maybe confirmed skepticism or discouragement or whatnot, maybe even sometimes to bewilderment. Now, I don't know about you, but even as a saved individual, sometimes with things that go on in life, 2020, different things probably in each of our own personal lives, sometimes question or doubt or have this niggling fear or whatnot. We know it's not right, and we ask the Lord for help. Number two on our handout there, just some things, some applications for us. Sometimes profound uncertainty precedes life-changing faith. I love the verse. I don't have the reference right here. I have a record of special verses to me, and this would be one of them. Even when we are unfaithful, God is always faithful. And sometimes that just comes home to roost in our hearts so dramatically when we pass through times of personal uncertainty or fear, difficulties, things that we've never, life circumstances that we've never gone that way before. But it's interesting, as we read through these passages, only when they encounter Jesus personally are they able to accept the fact of the resurrection. And if you're like me, sometimes like, yeah, but they got to see him. Well, we have the whole canon of Scripture. We've been given much. We've been given different things than they have been given at that time. I love, it's one of my things, my little hobby horses about Peter, that which we have seen and heard and touched. And he's just calling out to us down through the ages through the Word of God. He's real. I saw him dead. I saw him alive. It's true. And we have the Word of God about that. Only when they encounter Jesus personally are they able to accept the fact of the resurrection. There's nothing like the Lord allowing personal, human, temporal tragedy in our lives. The wages of sin is death. We're all faced with that, loved ones. We've had a lot of that this past year, even in our church body. And we're faced personally with need, up close with things that we absolutely, without a doubt, cannot fix. I remember that with my parents. Often I would go out and talk to the Lord and say, I can't fix this. I can't fix it. I can't make them know me. I can't, whatever. You know, you've got some of those things in your own life. I can't make it better. God says, I can, and it's good for you to know, but you can't do. You know, without God, we can't do anything, ultimately. Doesn't matter if you're an agnostic, an atheist, whether you deny his existence, you cannot breathe without him. He gave you the heart, the lungs. He gives you the air. He can give. He can take away. Isn't that what Job said? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the third part, our responsibility. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's got a plan. He is always good. And often he uses these, what we would refer to as tragedies that really are only temporal, to get us to think about these things, to face up to the fact of our ultimate helplessness, but not just the bad news, but the good news of God's all-sufficiency, to take care of every jot and every tittle, not just of the Word of God, but of the life that He's given us temporally and the one that He wants to grant to us spiritually. And then as these folks repented and believed the gospel, they devoted their lives to serving Jesus Christ. They weren't perfect, just like you and I aren't perfect, but they were saved sinners, if you will. And today, every one of them could shout from heaven and say, and now we're at a place we're delivered from the very presence of sin. What a blessing that is. What a wonderful thing. But they grew in the reality of His presence with them. And the theme today, if you will, is God wants to open our eyes, our hearts, our minds to believe all of His words, all of it. Sometimes, you know, it's like, yes, 1 John 5:13, that's great, nothing wrong with that. These things I've written that you may know that you have eternal life. I'm on my way to heaven. God says so. Yes. But what about the rest of all the Scripture? We're going to see that as we work our way through here. God wants to open our eyes to believe all of His words. Every day, every moment of our lives. I'm not making light. The preeminent thing is, yes, the end of this temporal life, either the rapture or our own physical death, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Yes. It's a no-so salvation. That's great. But what about the no-so salvation for the nitty-gritty of the things that we face day in and day out? Is there salvation for that as well? Yes. Yes, and it's that nitty-gritty most often in our own homes or our own workplaces or in the Walmart line or whatever else that we have amazing opportunity to show forth that it's not us but it's Christ in us that enables us to react in a way that is not natural. It's supernatural. Luke 24, verses 13. Let me read an extended passage here. Luke 24, beginning at verse 13. And you know this, but I want to read it so we get the actual text of Scripture here. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. Would you kind of put yourself in the shoes of these folks and think about your day-to-day activities even this past week or whatnot when we kind of, by our actions, our thoughts or whatnot, denied the Lord or doubted Him or, you know, verse 14, and they talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass that, well, they communed together and reasoned. Our thoughts and our ways, Isaiah 55, 8, 9 are not God's. They're infinitely different, right? Not that we shouldn't try to reason and do our best, but our best falls short for everything, right? Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. It's almost humorous, but it's also kind of a little bit sad and challenging as well. Verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? The perfect communicator says, what manner of communications are these? Tell me, what's going on? He knew it already. He knew everything, right? Before these folks or you and I were ever conceived. He knows everything He's got. But what's He trying to point out when He asks those kind of rhetorical questions? He's not trying to find something out. He's trying for us to find something out. What are you thinking? Are you thinking? Okay. What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Now one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Ha ha. And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And He said unto them, what things? And they said unto Him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. The religious folks, the folks that may be, quote, good people, religious folks, but were not saved, led in crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, but we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel, should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre when they found not His body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that He was alive. Two disciples returning to Emmaus at first missed the significance of history's greatest event. I'm not condemning them. There am I, right with them. Why? Because they were so focused on the expectations they had that were wrong. Oh, that's always a challenge to me. What are our expectations in any given situation? They were too focused on their wrong expectations, their disappointments, their own problems. In fact, they didn't recognize Jesus. I often wonder that if Jesus walked in an incarnate state in the world today, would we recognize him? They didn't recognize when Jesus was walking beside them. To compound the problem, they were walking in the wrong direction. Guilty. Away from the fellowship of believers in Jerusalem. Number 3 on your handout, we are likely to miss Jesus and withdraw from the strength found in other believers when we become preoccupied with our dashed hopes and frustrated plans. I think it was in Sunday school that I mentioned that. We're bleeding and hurting spiritually and we lay out of church in the assembly of believers. Let's go to the hospital and get infusions or whatever we need. Extra help, extra encouragement from brothers and sisters in Christ. Only when we're looking for Jesus in our midst will we experience the power and help that he can bring. And yes, he can do it miraculously and just speak the word, but so often he uses our brothers and sisters in Christ. I am often rebuked. I already said this to someone this morning. Often rebuked. I teach others and I need to learn for myself. Don't deny others the privilege of helping you because they love Jesus and they love you. Different way of looking at things. I talked to Pastor Josh a lot, and I was trying to be healthy, and sometimes when I was visiting folks, they would always give me all these goodies to eat, and I started rejecting them. It's like, now, wait a minute. You know, just you have to let them, you know, love you and be kind, but yeah, sometimes, anyway, we won't even go there. Keep feeding us. But it's true. Let's go to verse 24 as we go on here. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Oh, that's me. Thomas is a good name for me. Except I see him. I'm going to believe those crazy women. I don't know. In spite of 2,000 years of evidence and witness, in our day, many people still refuse to believe. For these disciples, it took the living, breathing Jesus Christ in their midst. How does that apply to our lives today? Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. He's also God. He's omnipresent. How do you fit all that together? I don't know. But for many people today, it takes the presence of living, breathing Christians. And I love and sometimes cannot share. Isn't it frustrating sometimes how the bad news gets out in the news media, even in churches and things like that? And there's always bad news because we're saved sinners. But sometimes the good news can't get out because it's a little more confidential and things. But I tell you, there's lots of good news going on. This is the main good news, but there's lots of good news going on in the world today for Jesus Christ. Be encouraged. There's lots of good news going on at Steam Valley Bible Church too. You need to praise and thank our God. Be a testimony for Christ. Grow in living like him and tell of him. Let's go to verse 25. Then he said to them, I don't know if this was Evangelism 101. Oh, fools! Encouragement. Oh, fools! You ever try that? To encourage your brother in Christ? Hey, fool! Okay. This is Jesus. It's perfect. Then he said to them, oh, fools. How about this one? Slow of heart to believe. I'm challenged. How about you? Why am I quick to believe the negative and not the positive? Why am I quick to believe the world, the flesh, and the devil, and not Jesus Christ? How about it? Oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Why do you call them fools? He rebukes them. It's because of the disciples' unwillingness to take seriously the many Old Testament texts that speak not only of the Messiah's glory, but also his suffering. And that suffering just did not fit with their expectations for the Messiah. Even though they well knew the biblical prophecies, number 4 in your handout, they failed to understand that Christ's suffering was his path to glory. They could not understand why God the Father did not intervene to save Jesus Christ from the cross. We try to pray well, effectually, fervently. God, we believe you can raise this person up physically. We believe with your word you can just grant healing right now. And that's true. But he sometimes chooses not to, doesn't he? Always for his glory, for the glory of God, just like with Jesus Christ, the preeminent one. Perhaps these folks were caught up in the world's admiration of political power and military might. Ouch. No salvation there. Doesn't matter what administration we have, state, federal, local. Perhaps they were unprepared for the reversal of values in God's kingdom. Oh, we're seeing that jammed down our throats in our day as well. That the last will be first, that life grows out of death, that the way up is down, and that he that is chief is he that serves. Just like Jesus, God hasn't changed. The world really hasn't changed its values. A suffering servant is no more popular today than it was 2,000 years ago. But we don't have just the witness of the Old Testament prophets in our day. We have the witness of the entire New Testament, the apostles, the history of the Christian church, all pointing to Jesus' victory over death. So will we step out, and it's perhaps getting more challenging and more visible when we do step out of the values of our culture and put our faith in Jesus, not just in order to go to heaven, but to live and speak the truth with compassion. Father, forgive them for their jerks. No, they know not what they do. And he died for all of us. Great challenges, great lessons, but great power in the Spirit of God. Or will we foolishly continue to be baffled by God's good news? Verse 26 here, as we go on, ought not Christ have suffered these things and enter into his glory? In verse 27, beginning at Moses, notice, he takes these folks, they didn't have the New Testament, they were living it. Okay? Beginning at Moses, and notice, and all the prophets. I had to be careful, but it rankles me when folks say, oh, I just read the New Testament. It's like, it's all the Word of God. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What's the theme of this book? Jesus is the theme of this book, the whole thing. Old and New Testament, not just the New Testament. After the two disciples explained their sadness and confusion, Jesus responded by going to all scripture and applying it to his ministry. Number 5 on your handout. When we are puzzled by questions or problems, we too can go to scripture and find not just help, but authoritative help. Where does he get this authority? He's God. He's God of gods. If we, like these two disciples, do not understand what the Bible means, and sometimes we don't, we can turn to other believers who know the Bible and have Holy Spirit wisdom to apply it to our situation, or run to Deuteronomy 29:29. I'll not go there today, though. The entire Old Testament is indispensable for a grounded grasp of the identity and significance of Jesus Christ. I love that we're going through Exodus and Genesis. I've learned so much just taking time and going through the Old Testament like that. Not that we can't depart from it, whatever the Lord leads, but everyone knows the whole illustration, you know, the wise man, the foolish man. Foundational. God's word. God wants to open our eyes to believe all his words. Remember the words of God. Last Sunday's Palm Sunday, triumphant entry message from John 12. Remember, rejoice. Rejoice by remembering what is written about Jesus. So important to be in the word of God. To invest, if you will, in the bank of God and his word. And not to be weird, but to be ready to withdraw. Yes, this is what God spoke to my heart about, and I looked for something. I didn't really, you know, I pulled a verse out from my devotions, not being a legalist, but looking for something today in my devotions. I pulled this out, and it's like, okay, and stuff. But then later in the day, God was preparing me. I get it. Or later in the week, or maybe someone to share it with or whatnot. Number 6, believe all the words of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even the dividing asunder of the soul, the spirit, the joints of marrow, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Romans 10:17. But let's go on here. Luke 24, verse 28. God's word says this, and they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Interesting to think of Jesus doing this. But they constrain him, saying, abide with us. Amen. The Gospel of John, abide with him. The vine, the branches. Oh, pray back the scripture. God, abide with me. Wonderful old hymn about that as well. They constrain him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. It came to pass as he sat at meat with them. Oh, this is so precious. He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And what? Boink! Their eyes were opened. And they knew him. I love it. And he vanished out of their sight. Amazing. Amazing. Amazing God. Supernatural God. Verse 32. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? When was the last time your heart burned within you, not just for sin, but for love of Christ? Just overwhelmed with his goodness, his majesty. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? Conviction. Well, he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. Does he do that in our day as well? Yes, just this is what you need. Here's my word for you today. Verse 33, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Number 7, supernatural enlightenment and illumination. Here we see the opening of the eyes by Jesus Christ. He died, he was buried, he rose again. He opened these guys' eyes, or these people's eyes. Understanding of God's word. Verses 31, verse 45 talks about understanding God's word. But he's seated at the right hand of God, the Father right now, and he sent the Spirit of God. The divine enabler, the comforter, the paraclete, the come alongsider, the indweller, Christ in us, the hope of glory, his Spirit. And think about our study this year. You know, I mean, I love God's providences. I didn't put this together, but God did. In Ephesians 1, with transition and the church and the ministry of the church and the riches that we have, chapters 1 to 3, and then the way that they are fleshed out in our lives and practicality in verses 4 to 6. Let me just read what we've been going over in Ephesians 1 as we finished up this prayer. Ephesians 1, 15 to 20. Think about supernatural enlightenment and illumination. We just finished this passage. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Oh, talk about a wonderful prayer to pray back for ourselves, for our loved ones, for our church family. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know... What is the hope of his calling? And we talked about not just the calling to salvation, but the callings every day, all the time. What is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who are to believe according to the work of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he what? Raised him from the dead. Just that resurrection power is available to us. We are homeschoolers because I don't mean you have to homeschool. I mean spiritually because the Spirit of God indwells us and is our tutor and our enabler. What a blessing. What an amazing, awesome privilege. Supernatural enlightenment, illumination, the opening of our eyes, the understanding. Focus on what God wants us to know. He wants us. We can't know everything. That's God. When we get to heaven, fine, we'll be like him. But until then, we struggle. But he never allows a situation in our lives to just stymie us so that we absolutely have no idea what to do. We may for a time, but that's not to make us mad. That's to make us draw closer to him and to glorify him, to motivate us to do that. Look at as we go in and get close to finishing up here, verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Bam! Wow! Talk about awe. And saith unto them, what? Peace. Love it. Peace be unto you. Oh, does our world need the peace of God? But look at here. Interesting with that. Verse 37, but they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? Reminds me of John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, look, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. I believe we're going to get to see them in heaven someday. And while they yet believed not for joy, amazing phrase there, and wonderful, full of wonder, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? From heaven's glories to earth's temporal confinements and challenges and struggles. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Meaning every single need that they had. Jesus' body wasn't just a vision or a ghost. The disciples touched him. He ate food and his scars were visible. On the other hand, his body wasn't just a restored human body like Lazarus's. Jesus was able to appear and disappear. Well, that's really cool. I'd like to do it. How about it? Sometimes we'd really all like to disappear. Someday, if we're alive when the trump occurs, we will disappear and folks left behind will wonder. Maybe. Jesus' resurrected body was even more real than before. It was now immortal. This kind of body will be given at the resurrection of the dead, 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go to verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that, there's that word again, all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Do we not see here with his resurrection the importance of the written word? Because the written word is what reveals the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. The written word is what the Spirit of God uses. Faith cometh by hearing, not just faith for salvation, not minimizing that, but faith for our daily struggles, our daily lives. Jesus recalls yet again, all that he's undergone is in accordance with the scriptures. It's a vital point for these Jewish disciples for whom the Old Testament was the unquestioned expression of God's mind and God's will. The law, the prophets, and Psalms make up the threefold Jewish division of the whole Old Testament. Verse 45, then opened he their understanding. Talk about light bulb. That opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He makes the scriptures come alive. And the Holy Spirit does that in our lives today when we study the Bible. Here's a question for us as we wind down the message this morning. Have you ever wondered how to understand a difficult Bible passage? Probably all of us have. Besides reading surrounding passages, asking other people, consulting reference works, praying that the Spirit of God will open your mind to understand, giving you the needed insight and power to put God's word, to yield to the Spirit of God, however you want to put it accurately, into action in our lives. Great burden of mine, pastorally, church-wise, is in the past generations, maybe a couple of years, there was quite a decent amount of Bible knowledge, but the application seemed we could kind of regurgitate it. But glad for you to tell me a story from the Bible, but how about the story of your life today and this week? How is it affecting you this day? The application by the Spirit of God. It cannot be overstressed that knowledge of Jesus Christ is inseparably related to the knowledge of the scriptures. Again, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. And number 8 on your handout there, the scriptures find their most central application in pointing people to Jesus Christ. Verses 46 to 48 to finish here. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. That's not politically correct or popular in our day. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye, talk about laying down the gauntlet. You guys are witnesses of these things. From the start, a relationship to Christ carries with it the privilege and responsibility to proclaim the gospel. And just as we close today, repentance is involved, as demonstrated by John the Baptist, a baptism of repentance. Repent and believe. I don't know how you can separate those with genuine belief in the truth of the Word of God. There's all kinds of beliefs out there. But I don't know how you can truly believe the word of God without repenting. So I can't quite exactly determine or say the cart before the egg. I think they're kind of both, I don't know, some have said kind of opposite sides of the same coin, I don't know. But repentance is involved, as demonstrated by John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. He was the preparer for the world for the incarnation of Jesus Christ. You need to repent and believe in Christ. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Mark 1, verse 4, verse 15. Repentance is involved as well as belief. So on your handout, I try to put it down there at the bottom with some arrows. And it starts out with the bad news. Frankly, in this life, little Amelia started out with bad news. She's born separated from God, no offense. It's like all of us were. You say, but she's an innocent little baby. No, I won't use Amelia. I'll use my kids. Juan and I are sinners, and we passed on a sin nature to them. And then they saw me sin, even though I'm saved. I'm not proud of that, but it's true. Believe the bad news about ourselves. Thieves on the cross. One didn't believe the bad news about himself. Didn't believe the good news about Jesus Christ. This guy did. At least we're getting what we deserve. This man hath done nothing amiss. Remember me. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. I believe in deathbed conversions. Amen. Believe the bad news about ourselves. We are sinners. We deserve to be separated from God. Bam. Repent. Turn away from ourselves, our thoughts that are different from God's thoughts, our ways, our sins, and turn to Christ and believe the good news about Jesus Christ. He is God. He is sinless. He died as a substitute, paying the penalty of our sin with his very lifeblood, his burial. He rose again. What did his resurrection prove? That he has power over death, not just physical death, but over spiritual death. He has, Satan can't do anything he wants to do. Satan is not God. He doesn't force you to do anything. Jesus Christ has power over death. He has power over hell. He has power over the grave. He has omnipotence. Believe the good news about Jesus Christ. The penalty of the sin of the world is paid in full. It is finished. It is done. It is offered as a gift. What do you do with a gift? You see, let me pay you for that. We can't. It's paid for. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become a child of God. Receive God's forgiveness, the remission of sins. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. God wants to open our eyes to believe all of his words. Take your hymnal, if you would. Let's turn to number 333. It is a chorus. I think most will know it. I'm going to ask my wife to play it through in just a moment. It's number 333. It's an exciting day. Lots of things going on, I'm sure, in families and things. So we are so grateful that you've chosen to come and share part of your day with us today.